For 7 decades, famed tap dancer Brenda Bufalino has been dancing and promoting the genre, which she describes as our American art form. The dancer and choreographer will present the lecture Tap Dance Made in America and offer classes on Sunday at the National Museum of Dance in Saratoga Springs. The event comes just days before May 25th, National Tap Dance Day, which coincides with the birthday of legendary dancer Bill Bojangles Robinson. Brenda Bufalino is also the author of the book Tapping the Source, Tap Dance Stories, Theory, and Practice, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight.
Oh, this is wonderful. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being here and for sharing with us this morning. When you talk about this, the name of your talk, Made in America, of what is it about tap, do you think, that is so American?
Well, it was created here. It was created here by Irish, English, African. And it was like jazz. It was made in America and keeps being created here. So it's like America's classical dance form, just like jazz is America's classical music.
And it defines us in a way, doesn't it?
It does. It, somehow everybody has tap dance in their DNA.
When did you learn that you had it in your DNA?
I think probably before I was born. I was very active in the womb.
There you go.
So, but I've been tap dancing since I was probably 6 or 7, and that's many decades ago.
So at that point, and I want to get into education and your life and teaching people and so forth, but talk to us about your childhood and the importance of dance and specifically tap and what that meant to you growing up.
Well, you know, we're not all the same kind of person. Our minds don't work the same. Fortunately for me, who was a dreamer with great imagination, I found dance and music very young. It was in my family. My aunt was a concert pianist. My mother was a lyric soprano and an elocutionist. And I studied every form of dance every day. And so it really filled my life in with great learning and great expression. Very, very fortunate.
So it's not something that you have to do. It's something that you want to do.
Oh, yes. Or you could say have to, something in the book.
Right. You have to do it as an artistic expression, but it's not mandated. It's something that you are saying to yourself, this is how I want to express myself at this time.
No, I think that kind of would be an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Saying I have to dance. That wouldn't figure somehow.
Well, I mean, you know, for people who are trained, whether it be music or anything, of where lessons are involved, and you say you have to practice, and there's, especially as a kid, you know, we're going to do this now. So it's not so much that it becomes a part of the daily routine as it is that you want it to be a part of the daily routine.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, it's interesting about practice. Because I danced every day as a child and studied every day in a kind of conservatory school, I didn't think too much about practice. But as I got older and wanted to master the form of tap dance, that required hours and hours of practice. Now, for sure, you don't always want to practice.
Right.
After I've taught all day and it's 10 o'clock at night and my children are trying to go to sleep, I don't feel like practicing till 3 or 4 in the morning. But once you start, then something changes in you. That's the beauty of practice.
And you, once you feel the progress, does that only fuel fuel you to go on and to continue and to want to try new?
No question. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, to find the right sound, when you find it, that right sound, that right manipulation, you get so excited you don't want to stop.
That's interesting. You use the word sound. How much of it is feel and how much of it is sound in tap?
Well, you know, it depends. For me, the sound comes first. The sound originates, you know, in your heart and your mind and travels to your feet. And if you consider yourself a musician, which I do, it comes from melody. It comes from melody. It comes from a rhythmic place inside yourself and finds itself in the feet. Of course, if your feet, just like if you're a piano player, have not been developing manipulations and scales, then it doesn't make any difference what you sing to yourself. It's not going to come out.
Right. Which brings up the point of what ingredients do you believe have to be in place for you to be able to teach, especially tap?
Well, you know what? What is so interesting about tap dancing is that it's really quite fun and expressive at almost every level. I almost wish, though, that master teachers would teach beginner tap dancers, because I have to say I spend a great deal of my time correcting training that doesn't help the dancer progress.
Mm.
But, you know, master teachers teach advanced and professional dancers, as I do most of the time. But I like to check in now with beginners and advanced beginners to see how they're actually learning their rudiments. Very important.
Give us an example of something that you would have to correct, of what can go wrong in the early stages that needs to be corrected.
Well, you know, I think most of us understand piano playing, for instance. You know,
right.
If your hands are all tight on the keys, they're not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, it's the same thing with the legs, you know. You want the legs to be free and the tap to come from the leg. So a lot of times in beginner tappers, they just want to try to get it with their feet. And so a very stiff kind of technique develops that I have to rearrange almost completely in terms of action, you know, how the action is, where the action comes from for the tap.
So the foot bone is connected to the leg bone. So for that
you
to
bet.
Work.
So that's perfect.
Yeah. So you have to have that.
I think I'll sing that the next time I'm dressed.
So it's the leg that is dictating where the foot and ultimately that tap lands.
That's right. That's right. They go together, you know. They have to go together. And so and also, you know, the idea of, you know, any kind of dance, I think, is really about physics. It's very scientific. There are very swift and economical ways to produce a sound. And so a master teacher can help you with that, can take you from, say, A to D very quickly, right, by the physics of how you apply yourself.
What do you think there is about that moment? And I think I say this generally, that I assume that most of our listeners have experienced this at one time in their lives, where there is that moment where there is the showstopper. And invariably it comes from tap, where somebody will suddenly come out in a frenetic state and just blow the roof off the place. And what is it about that affects us so, do you think, as an audience?
Well, if the dancer is not only, I mean, you say frenetic, but if the dancer has a wonderful energy and a powerful rhythmic sense.
Yes.
And it just gets viscerally, gets you right in the heart and the stomach. And to see the body producing sound is an incredibly electric feeling for an audience. And I think that's a lot of times why tap dancers don't get invited into other shows, because we always stop the show.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, it does. Because it is, when that happens, I recently saw this, A Christmas Story, on Broadway. And there's a scene in that show where one of the school teacher, and then there's this young kid. And I want to say this kid is like 5 years old. And he and the teacher go at it, and that kid matched that teacher tap for tap, and it was one of the most incredible things I had ever seen. And literally, it stopped the show, and I thought, man, you know, that is well. First of all, I think a lot of it has to do because it's coming out of such a small person, but also as you say, it grabs you, and that feeling is so electric that it just doesn't let you go.
It doesn't. It lifts the spirit. It lifts the spirit to watch it, and it lifts the spirit to do it. It's that all of a sudden the heart jumps, and there you go. But, you know, it's also one of the things that's very interesting. It not only does that, but tap dance has, which most people don't realize, the capacity for all kinds of musicality and subtlety. It's not only that showstopper. I mean, one of the great things that happened in the renaissance of tap dance since the 70s and 80s is that it's become a concert form.
Right.
And that means that you just don't go out there and dance frantically for 2 hours, but you can vary with your soft shoes and the musicality, the kind of music that you use, and you can touch all kinds of emotional places in the audience and in yourself. And, of course, you know, it's very hard for all of us who can do it not to be doing flash and bring the audience to their feet. But we also like to help the audience to feel many things.
Right.
And we can do that.
That's a great point.
And I think that's not always recognized, to realize that this is an art form with much dimension.
And there can be subtleties.
Enormous. That's what I have worked on all my life, is the subtlety. And, of course, I cannot ever back down from doing some flash.
Well, you get a little bit of all of the above if you check out Tap Dance Made in America. Brenda Buffalino will present the lecture and offer classes on Sunday at the National Museum of Dance in Saratoga Springs. You can go to dancemuseum.org for more information. Brenda, a delight to have you on the program. I thank you so much, and it'll be wonderful to have you in the region.
Well, thanks. I'm a big fan of yours, Joe.
Well, thank you very much. It's very sweet. Thank you. I appreciate that. Again, you can find out more by going to dancemuseum.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.